Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
All right, Jordan Shane here for The Scope. We are doing yet another advanced review of another summer movie. This time around, it's 30 minutes or less. The Jesse Eisenberg comedy, action, criminal caper romp. I don't really know how to explain it, but it stars Jesse Eisenberg from the Facebook movie, Jared. What's that called? The Social Network.
Social Network, correct.
We've got Aziz Ansari from the television program Parks and Rec.
Indeed.
Also a very funny stand-up comedian. We've got
Danny McBride
from
several things.
Several things. Southbound and Down.
Most recently, Your Highness, I believe, was his most recent theatrical.
Oh, you like that one? And then we got another guy by the name of Nick Swardson.
Yes.
Who I don't know. He seems familiar to me, but I don't really know what else he's been in.
I think I've heard him on podcasts, possibly of the Maximum Fun variety. I think they're fans of the Nick Swardson.
Yeah, he seems to be a. He just seems to be like sort of a comedian guy. I'm looking at his IMDb stuff. He was in Reno 911.
Okay, yeah.
And a bunch of other things that really don't really matter all that much.
We're here to talk about 30 Minutes
30
or Less.
So 30 Minutes or Less tells the tragic story of...
You might call it a Hollywood archetype, Shane.
Yes.
The kind of the loser pizza delivery man.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this character exists in nature, nor do I think that any pizza chain ever... guarantees a pizza delivery in 30 minutes or less anymore. I think that is a myth of the Reagan era that has died away.
Sort of
but
strange.
Yet Hollywood perpetuates
it. But apparently in, I don't know if it's the upper or lower peninsula of Michigan,
It's like Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
We're talking lower. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And that's played by the stuttering Jesse Eisenberg, very similar to who he is normally.
I would say
a little different.
Just about all of the cast is like how they are usually.
Yes.
You've got Jesse Eisenberg is playing his typical, you know, kind of character who is not living up to his potential and is a little bit... wouldn't say he's socially awkward, but he's definitely, you know, a little bit twitchy.
Yep. His best friend?
His best friend is, what was his character's name?
His best friend played by Aziz was Chet.
Chet, there it is.
Yep.
Chet, Aziz Ansari, doing the standard Aziz Ansari thing,
yep.
Which I don't think is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think that's, but if you've seen Park and Recreations, you've seen the character.
Yes.
Although I guess he's a little bit more of a player on Parks and Recreation.
A little more, I think he's a little more straight-laced in this.
Yes.
He's manic like he is in Parks and Rec, but
he's a little more real.
Yes.
He's a teacher. So.
He is Jesse's best friend. Jesse's name is Nick, so we'll get that
Nick
straight.
Nick and Chet. Not really important to the story.
No, but Nick, a loser, Chet, got his life together.
A little bit, yes.
And they
are roommates and friends, and they have a bit of a falling out.
Their friendship divergent because
yes.
of kind of their station in life and where it's going. Then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got the Danny McBride character, Dwayne, and his best friend, Travis. Dwayne's father is a rich former Marine.
Lottery winner.
Danny McBride is his loser son who
yep.
can't seem to get his life together. So along with his best friend, they concoct a plan in which they will... kidnap someone, strap a bomb to them, and make them rob a bank. And then he will take that money and then do dubious things with it.
Correct.
Which is really not all. It's somewhat important to the plot, but not really. He just has other plans.
Exactly. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yes. So, Jared and I think we have fairly different opinions on how we felt about the movie. But
yeah.
Before we get into that, Jared, let's talk about the fact that the security for this movie was so high.
So high.
I joked to Jared that I believe we were either seeing Titanic 2 or The Avengers. Because they took our cell phones. They wanded us down.
Yep.
They made sure that no one was going to record this movie. Which, in my opinion, I think... probably would actually hurt it because the word would get out that it was so terrible. But it was something to be seen, Jared. In a different crowd than what we've
different
seen.
Different crowd. We're used to seeing more of the superhero type. This was a younger crowd, more of a comedy crowd. So
maybe some former football players from high school in there.
Yep.
Muscly and very, very frightening to me. But I felt a little fish out of water.
That's all right.
But anyway, so getting past that, getting back to the movie.
The effects were great.
Great effects. The CG could not be stopped. You guys got the plot. It's sort of all over the place, and then it's sort of sprinkled in. We've got comedy. We've got the comedy stylings of Aziz and Danny McBride. Then we've got this really sort of strange, serious heist caper that's going on at the same thing, kind of a crime thing, which kind of got sort of serious here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I sort of, this is something that you and I have talked about in other movies, and especially Shaun of the Dead. It's a movie that I have a really hard time with because it was a movie that struggled to find a tone.
Is it funny? Is it funny? Serious?
Is it a horror movie? This is the same with this movie. Is it funny? Is it a serious Reservoir Dogs crime caper? Is it a love story? Is it a coming of age, you know, figuring out who you are? This movie kind of did it all, and I don't think that it did any of them extremely successfully. That was my problem with it.
Okay.
It didn't reach for the stars in the comedy. It didn't reach for the stars in a crime picture. It didn't reach for the stars in a Tarantino ripoff or a coming of age. I just thought that it did everything marginally, and I wouldn't even say marginally well. I would say marginally at best. I laughed sometimes. I didn't laugh as much as I expected I would.
Okay.
There were times when
I laughed more than I expected.
You did.
I think,
you did laugh a lot. And maybe the crowd didn't get it, and I wasn't into it with the crowd. I don't know, but I thought it was meandering through most of it.
I can see that. I think I definitely liked it more than you, but I think you're right. It doesn't succeed as a coming of age, getting your life together type of film. It doesn't exceed as an action heist caper. I think where it does succeed, not greatly, but I think adequately, is in the comedy department. Although it's certainly not pushing any boundaries or being cutting edge. I laughed enough that I enjoyed myself, even though it was pretty much Aziz doing his Aziz thing, and Jesse Eisenberg being his normal self, and Danny McBride just deadpanningly delivering lines that are often of disgusting content. Mm-hmm. So
and possibly ad-libbed. And
very definitely.
Let me ask you this, Jared.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is sort of my barometer. What you see of Aziz Ansari in this film, is he funnier in Parks and Rec than he is in this film? I would say yes.
I think so, because I think everything in there was a lot of him just yelling stuff in this movie, which I think is funny, because I think he's got a funny voice.
But it wasn't, like, clever. It wasn't weird or quirky.
No,
it was
definitely.
Just him yelling.
And there was no John Ralphio, and that's instant points against him.
Danny McBride doing pretty much the same shtick that he always does. If you like him, you probably like it here.
Exactly.
I don't think he was any funnier in this than he was in his HBO show. And other things that I've seen him in. No,
he was like I said early on, he was doing what you would expect him to do, and if you like that thing, you will like him in this movie.
I think his partner, that Nick Swardson playing Travis, was probably the breakout guy in there.
He had a couple of little tender moments.
He was sort of he played a very weird, I don't know if he was mentally handicapped or just slow kind of guy. I mean, it wasn't mentally, he was just sort of a slow, sweet guy that said some weird, funny, awkward things, which I appreciated the quirkiness that he brought to his character more than any of the other ones.
And maybe it's because he is an unknown entity that we got to see that. I don't know. Maybe he is actually really good. I don't know really anything about him. So, So hey. But he was a highlight. I liked him. Definitely.
You have Fred Ward in this, who played the Tough as Nails Marine, which maybe wasted. I mean, he didn't do a lot.
Yeah, I guess. I guess he's there as motivation for the antagonist, so...
Yes, and you've got another assassin in there as well.
I think he was probably the highlight of the film for me, because he's a Latino assassin.
Michael Pena,
he's got some quirks and some affectations to him that are just kind of weird and funny.
What was his nickname? Was it Honey or Milky Dog or something like that?
I don't remember.
A very strange speaking pattern.
Yes.
And very funny until shit starts getting ugly, and then he starts getting ugly.
Yeah, and then
which is the whole tone of the movie.
Then he kind of falls into the standard Latino assassin character type, so that you've seen before.
But that's one of the things in this movie that bothered me, is that you've got all this comedy, but then when things start getting serious, people switch out of the characters that they are, and they get more cutthroat, or they get more evil, or they get smarter in how to deal with things, which they weren't before. It seemed convenient writing for the plot.
I will grant you that.
To advance
As I've said, it succeeds more as a comedy than it does as any other type. And so, those inconsistencies creep in when it's not being a comedy.
The plot was...
It's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and it's really not... the plot is there to set up some jokes.
Yeah.
It's not really resolved at the end, and that's probably okay.
In a bad way, I think, you know.
Well, I guess.
I don't know why they would do what they did at the end.
It really,
It doesn't make any sense.
That
to
seemed
me.
Odd. You think that they would want to maybe,
It seemed like a payoff to a joke at the end, that they could, like a callback.
Yep. That was really it, because that's really, the characters probably wouldn't do that. You're right, absolutely right about that.
I'm going to tell you this. I think that if they play this movie as more of a quirky comedy about a coming-of-age type story with a loser pizza guy and his friend and his friend's sister and some of these weird characters in Michigan, that I think the movie would have been much more successful. I would have been much more interested in it, because I think they could have fleshed those characters out more. And I wanted to find out why Jesse Eisenberg's character was the way he was.
That's true. We never really found out.
He just
accept that he's just kind of not done anything with himself. And he's not happy about it, but he doesn't know how to change.
It had a lot of promising character development at the beginning, and then it just went away to get into this other...
Then it was just set up for jokes.
Yep.
You're making me think less of this film as we talk about
it. Wow, I'm so good at changing your mind. And I think that you almost could have had this movie without the Danny McBride characters. I just think they were. It was like two separate divergent films that didn't play well together. Or they could have had them in a different movie. You know, we cross over. Those guys are sort of in the same points in their life where they're losers, and you got this other loser, and how can they make their lives better? I don't know. Something to think about. Too many different movies. None of them successful. Disappointed. Thumbs down.
We should probably give it a score then.
Okay, so let's give this thing a score.
The Scope score is 2 stars.
So there you go. That's our first comedy review of the summer.
Yes. Unless you count Green Lantern. Unintentionally laughable.
Hey, at least we're seeing films and we're getting the reviews out to you. Hopefully before release day on this case.
Very, very exciting. So thank you guys for tuning into another Scope Advanced Review, 30 minutes or less. Who knows? Maybe we'll bring a couple more the rest of the summer.
Fingers crossed.
Scope out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.